Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. Muslim kid from the UK learns life lessons from the boss. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the next hour, we talk to a British-Pakistani writer about growing up an avid Springsteen fan. And later, Norwegian dance rock band Data Rock are bringing the 80s back, whether you want them or not. The tracksuit-wearing duo will play live in our studio. And the latest Soundcheck CD picks of the week. But first, Safraz Manzoor spent his teen years in constant conflict, both trying to fit into an all-white school and trying to satisfy the demands of a strict Muslim father. But at age 16, his life changed when a friend introduced him to the music of Bruce Springsteen. He writes about the experience in his memoir, Greetings from Berry Park, and he joins us from the BBC studios in London. Safraz, thanks for being with us.
Hi, good afternoon.
So you are first-generation British-Pakistani, raised in a Muslim family, living in, you know, in England outside of London. How did you make a connection with the New Jersey rocker, Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that sounds more surprising than it really is, because I think the thing about music especially, and I guess, you know, your program probably specializes and sort of develops this anyways, it has a really universal power. So the thing I really found amazing about Springsteen was that he talked in a very specific sense about New Jersey and about growing up in a particular time. But the things he was talking about were actually really universal. I mean, if you think about his own life, you know, he was a working class guy. You know, he was growing up, he had issues with his father. His dad worked in a, in manual labor. And, you know, he was growing up in a part of New Jersey that he wanted to get out of. And those were the things which I found that they resonated and chimed with me, because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, if you're not having problems with your parents when you're a kid, you're probably doing something wrong. And and so those were the things. And I think that the great thing about great songwriting and great art is that it can actually touch people who you might think of would be the least likely to reach them. And I guess that I'm an example of that.
So even though he was talking about places you'd never been and situations you would hardly ever find yourself in, there was something universal that you were able to kind of just instinctively pull out of this.
I mean, in a way, the fact that those were places, you know, the fact that I hadn't seen the New Jersey Turnpike and, you know, that the places that he was talking about weren't real places, in a way, that was actually better for me, because in a way, what I could then do was romanticize them. If you drive down on the New Jersey Turnpike every day, maybe you don't see the potency of those words as much as if you're 6,000 miles away, because then it becomes pure art in a way, you know, in a style perhaps that if it's actually your daily life, it wouldn't be.
So is that why, did Springsteen have this kind of exotic quality that you didn't find in, homegrown rockers there?
I mean, I've got to be honest, a lot of my music is American. I like John Mellencamp, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, and in a way that the stuff that's closer to home, the English music of the Beatles or the Stones or the Smiths and the Cure and later on, it feels a bit too familiar. It's a bit like why I don't like watching soap operas. If I want to see misery, I can just go home. So for me, it's the same reason that, you know, I was in LA many years ago when I first went to the States, and I saw there was these kids who were really into the Smiths, and I thought, you know, you guys have got sunshine all the time, why are you listening to the Smiths? It just seems like it seemed weird, but for them that kind of English music was exotic in the way that American rock music is exotic to me.
So if it rained every day in LA, you think those kids would get tired of the Smiths real quick?
They should be listening to the Beach Boys.
We're speaking with Safraz Manzoor. His memoir is called Greetings from Berry Park. Of course, a play on the title of the early Springsteen record, Greetings from Asbury Park. You write that as a teenager, you wondered whether it was possible to say you were a Springsteen fan if you couldn't live your life by the values of his music.
Yeah.
Did the values in his music conflict with the values of your father, a hardworking, working class Muslim man who had tried to make a new life for his family in the UK?
It's a really good question. I mean, I think one of the things that's really interesting about this is I've gotten a lot of, I've got a website, and as a result of that, people get in touch. And I've had quite a lot of correspondence from American readers already. And what's interesting is that the immigrant story has a, you know, has a universal quality regardless of the specifics. So I've had people emailing me from New York and from California and from all sorts of places saying that the father that I depict, who is my father, was my father, reminded them of their father, even if he was Greek or Italian or Polish. So I think the immigrant story actually is more universal. But to answer your question, it did. And I mean, I'll give you one very blunt example: relationships. You listen to Springsteen and he talks about love in a way that you want that kind of love. You know, you listen to what he talks about Wendy in Born to Run, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a line where he says, "I want to love you with all the sad, I want to love you with all the madness, and we'll live with the sadness." And you think, that's what you want to say to a girl. You know, you want to say that. But that does not work with the world of arranged marriages. And, you know, if it's gonna good, if it's good enough for the family, it should be good enough for you. You know, the romanticized idea of love in Springsteen's music is completely in odds with the kind of background that I come from. So that's a really good example of where those values contradicted. Another one, which is not really to do with culture, is just trying to do the best in your life. You know, so many people go to college, they study courses that they're not that interested in, they end up doing jobs they don't really want to do. And for me, the message of Springsteen was always to be the best you could be. He has a line that he used to say, which is, it's easy to let the best of yourself slip away. And I always used to use those words as almost like a compass, where you try to judge yourself and say, am I letting the best of myself slip away? And I've used that in every aspect of my life, in terms of the career decisions I've made, in terms of the friends I have, in terms of the people I've dated. Am I letting the best of myself slip away? So that's another example of where the conflict can sometimes arise between life as it's lived and the values of Springsteen's music.
All right. We're speaking with Safraz Manzoor about his memoir, Greetings from Bury Park. And Saf, let's listen to a little bit of a specific song from The Boss, and then I want you to tell us the kind of significance of the song. It's called The River.
I come from down in the valley where Mr. They bring you up to do like your daddy John. Me and Mary, we met in high school when she was just 17. We drive out of this valley down to where the fields were green. We go down
Song is The River by Bruce Springsteen, and the song figures prominently early on in the story that Safraz Manzoor tells in his book, Greetings from Bury Park. What was it about this song that struck you, Saf, the first time you heard it?
God, it feels almost sacrilegious to be talking over Bruce, to be honest. But it was one of the first songs my friend introduced me to. You mentioned that I got into him when I was 16. And I remember listening to this late one night, around about 11 o'clock, half 11. And you've got to understand, this was the 80s. And this was, you were mentioning before the band who were kind of still into the 80s.
Data rock, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's some good things about the 80s. But let's be honest, there was a lot of nonsense music being made at that time. And I kind of happened to be right. I was guilty of listening to quite a lot of it. So I'd grown up listening to, you know, Lionel Richie's Hello and thinking that was profound. So you listen to something like this and it's like a movie being played in sound. It's a story that's unfolding. And I remember listening to it on my headphones that night and thinking, I want to know what happens next. I want to know what happens to these characters. And I hadn't felt emotionally engaged in that way in music ever before. And then he has this line where he says, is a dream a lie if it doesn't come true, or is it something worse? And that plays to what you were asking me earlier about the values, because, you know, how many of us live lives or live dreams which don't come true. And so it was a really profound moment, and I just realized that actually this is what music can do. I'd always thought music was entertainment, but this was more than entertainment for me.
Well, now, you also write in the book that you kind of defined yourself in opposition to your father, but the irony being that your father had that dream and you know, worked really hard to make it work, you know, spending 11 years by himself away from his family in the UK before sending for you all. What was the dynamic like there? And
it's a fair point, but the thing is, when you're a kid, you don't necessarily see your dad in that way. You know, you kind of, I think the problem is that when you're young, you don't necessarily see your father as a human being who has his own story and his own narrative and his own sacrifices. You kind of see him as a dad, don't you? And when I was 15, 16, I didn't sort of take that on board. I mean, one of my biggest regrets is I never asked him about the 11 years that he wasn't around, when we weren't around, and the things that he saw and the things he did, because I just saw him as a voice of opposition. So in terms of the dynamic was basically, I always thought of him as an oppositional figure. And I sometimes was quite reckless in that. So if he said, you know, we're not British, we're Pakistanis, we happen to be Pakistanis who are living in Britain, but we're not British. And I would say, no, actually, I feel more British. And then he would say, you don't need to be listening to this kind of Western American music. You've got your own music. You've got Pakistani music. And then I would put the music volume higher, listen to Springsteen. So I kind of did my own sort of act of rebellion, because I guess when you're young, you're trying to work out who you are. And I used who my father was as a way of defining myself.
Well, now, a song like Independence Day from the Born to Run album, that deals with a father-son relationship.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's from The River, actually. And I mean, if you listen to the words, he's basically just talking to his dad. And he's just saying, you know, and he's just saying things are different now and they're changing. And what was really good is you listen to his words, and it made me less angry about my relationship with my dad, because in the song, Springsteen is much, much more empathetic and, you know, he's much more understanding. And that helped me be less angry about my own relationship with my father.
We're speaking with author Safraz Manzoor. His book is called Greetings from Berry Park. And here's that song.
There's a darkness of this house has got the best of us. There's a darkness in this town that's got us too. But they can't touch me now, and you can't touch me now. They ain't gonna do to me what I watched them do to you. So say goodbye, it's Independence Day. It's Independence Day all down the line. Just say goodbye. It's Independence Day. It's Independence Day.
Independence Day from Bruce Springsteen, from the album The River, and a song that, as Safraz Manzoor was telling us, is more than just a song. There is a story unfolding, as there is in so much of the Boss's music. So, Safraz, how big a Bruce fan are you to this day?
To be honest, it's one of those things that whenever I meet anybody new, I it's something you kind of like, you hold back to reveal, because it can shock people a little bit. But since 19, I first saw him in on the Tunnel of Love tour in 1988, and I've seen him around about 80 times in concert. So I've seen him pretty much every British show since 1992, and I've traveled to see him in the States, in New York, in New Jersey, Washington, Pittsburgh, and I've seen him across Europe as well.
80 times, though.
Yeah, pretty
now,
much, yeah.
Now, some of those have got to be more memorable than others, and I would imagine the Rising tour shortly after 9/11 must have been one of the most memorable.
Yeah, I mean, seeing him in Madison Square Garden on the Rising tour, when he came out and he said, New York, I've been thinking about you, and you knew that that album was all about, obviously, the 9/11 and its aftermath. That was an amazing thing. To be honest, every time I see him in the States, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
New York and New Jersey, because those are, you know, that's where he comes from. That's always special.
Tell us the story of, I mean, as a, you know, a young Muslim male getting on board a transatlantic flight that close to 9/11, what was that experience like?
Well, I after 9/11, I was very reluctant to fly to New York because for obvious reasons, because you kept hearing about people who had been stopped for a long time, etc. And it was only Springsteen that persuaded me. The concert persuaded me I had to go. So I turned up, flew into JFK, and I had my whole spiel ready for how I was going to explain myself, etc., etc. You get more nervous than you might necessarily need to when you're male and Muslim. And I get there, and the guy looks at me. He's kind of a big bear-like guy with a big mustache, and he says, "What's the purpose of your visit?" And I just said, "I'm here to see Bruce Springsteen." And he kind of did a double take. He said, "What? You've flown all the way from London to see Bruce Springsteen?" And I think he thought it was some sort of cover. I said, yeah, actually, I've seen him before. I've seen him in the States before. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, I can't think of a better reason for you to be in the United States." And then he turned to one of his other guys and he said, hey, Danny, this guy's here to see Bruce." And the guy's like, "Oh, man, you should have seen him last year. I saw him then." And it was brilliant because for that second, he'd seen me as this brown-skinned Muslim guy. And then as soon as I explained my Bruce thing, we became fellow Bruce fans. And I just thought that's the magic of what music can do.
Right. Now, I mean, not to harp on tragedies, but then there were the London bombings. From 9/11, we go to 7/7, the 2005 bombings of the Underground. Those bombers started their journey in your hometown of Luton.
Yeah, they did.
How did that affect, that sense of identity?
It's kind of, it's weird because I take that train. I mean, to be honest, I took, from that train station is when I took the train to go and see Springsteen at Wembley Stadium, the first time I went. That is the train station I go when I go back home to see my mum. That's the train that's the train station I arrive in. It was very weird to think that four guys got on that same train station and then went out to blow up innocent people. It was very weird. And I think that what it did really with me was it gave me a bit of an extra resolve to show that that's not the only way to be. Because I think the danger is that obviously, the news is going to lead on murder and extremism. And I think the important thing that I just thought is, well, let's show that there's another side. It was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because, the four people did that, but there's a hell of a lot of other people who aren't like that. And so because they started from my hometown and because they shared in some way my faith, I thought it kind of gave me an added incentive to try and write something which exploited and showed the universal side to life rather than concentrating only on the things that divide us.
We're speaking with Safra's Mansour. His memoir is called Greetings from Berry Park. Berry Park being a largely still Muslim community in Luton, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the Asian area.
Now, your father no longer lives there. He died nearly 15 years ago. And at the beginning of the book, you talk about he was someone who, I guess, was initially suspicious of your work in trying to work in Western media, and he died just as your first piece was being published. What would he have thought of this memoir?
It's a great question, and it's a really difficult question. It's easy for me to give you a soundbite answer, but the truth is, I don't know, because if he was alive, it wouldn't be this book, and I don't think I would be the man I am. I mean, I became a man in a way the day he died, because it forced me to look at my life again and grow up in a way that I wasn't doing. And the journey that I've had over the last 13 years has been in his absence. And in a way, writing the book was partly a process for me to sort of thank Springsteen. And it was also a way to try and understand my father. It was to try and have a dialogue with him in his absence, because when my dad died, he died 3 days before I turned 24, at a time, as you've just said, when I hadn't achieved anything in my life. And so what's been weird is to have achieved success of some form in this country, but have not had him, not had his approval, not had him giving me any advice or telling me that he was proud of me. So in a way, writing the book has been a process of trying to understand him as a man, and for me to thank him publicly as well for what he gave us.
Well, and the book is called Greetings from Berry Park, and it's getting really terrific reviews. We've been speaking with the author and broadcast journalist Safra's Mansour from the BBC studios in London. Safra's, it really is a remarkable story. Thank you for sharing it with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Here's a little bit from Bruce Springsteen from the Rising Tour. After 9/11, he incorporated a Pakistani choir and Qawwali music from Pakistan in this song called Worlds Apart.
Where the highway rolls to dark.
Coming up next, three new CDs selected by the Soundcheck staff that you simply must download. And later, Norwegian dance rock band Data Rock. They're bringing back the sound and style of the 80s, complete with Casio keyboards and shiny tracksuits. They'll play live in our studio. That's coming up later. Listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.